Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
The Brooklyn Nets make a surprise hire. One of the leading stories in the national sports scene. Welcome into another edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. The Brooklyn Nets earlier today made the announcement that Steve Nash will be the team's next head coach, signing him to a four-year contract. They made this announcement early this morning. In recent weeks, there's been stories surrounding who may be next for Brooklyn. There was a rumor that they would target Greg Popovich, which, look, let's be real, Brooklyn is a very intriguing and appealing place to go at the moment. It's a team that next year will have two superstars, and they utilized this past offseason setting up, not for 2020, but for 2021, when Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are back at full strength, along with the likes of a Spencer Dinwiddie. Steve Nash, no experience whatsoever. None. Didn't work his way up the assistant ladder. He's just diving right in. And I think it's interesting, really, because there are examples that you can point to as far as rookie head coaches doing great things in their first year. For instance, Steve Kerr won an NBA championship. Tyronn Lue won a championship. Nick Nurse won a championship. See, I can point to first-time head coaches, rookie head coaches, who just dive right in and win a title. And look, Brooklyn, again, they are going to have the star power. But then you have the other end of the spectrum. Coaches that didn't quite work out with no experience. Isaiah Thomas, former player, dives right in. That was a disaster. Before Isaiah, Magic Johnson did it for half a season. It didn't work out. More recently, Jason Kidd, Derek Fisher, Mark Jackson, mixed results. And as I point out, Derek Fisher, which his time in New York was just horrible. I mean, that was during the Phil Jackson era in New York. That didn't work out at all. Mark Jackson gets fired. They go to Steve Kerr. They win an NBA championship. Isaiah Thomas was just dreadful every which direction he went in the NBA, be it in the front office or being on the bench. There's no question that Steve Nash has a great basketball IQ. And I can't stress this enough. You do not have to be a great player in order to be a great coach. There's a difference in knowing the game and being able to relay that message opposed to just being a great player and knowing what you're talking about, right? You have to be able to connect with your players. In today's world, I do believe, in today's NBA world, Steve Nash will be able to connect to his players. It seems like current players want to play for a former player. Again, I think it goes along the lines of the fraternity mindset. A former player with a championship pedigree. Now, Steve Nash doesn't have that, but he played on some very good teams, and we're talking about a two-time MVP. So I can see as to how this is appealing. I have to believe that the Nets front office, and they gave Steve Nash a four-year contract, by the way. I have to believe that the front office was definitely coaxed in some form or another by Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. It's a superstar-driven league. I have to believe that. This name comes out of nowhere today. There are a lot of very good, viable, even retread options. And Brooklyn's going to go the route of Steve Nash, thinking outside the box. Curious to see how this plays out. But Steve Nash, the next head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. That was the big story this morning. Outside of that, in the national realm, not a whole lot else going on other than the NFL. There's some moves being made. The Jacksonville Jaguars have once again made a trade. They have sent Ronnie Harrison to the Cleveland Browns. for a 2021 fifth-round pick. The team made this announcement today. The Jaguars are rebuilding all the way front to back. It's the third starter that they have moved in 5 days because they got rid of Ngakoue in the trade with Minnesota, and then they waived Leonard Fournette on Monday. So three starters now gone in the last 5 days. The Browns, they needed a safety because of a season-ending injury already to Grant Delpit, who ruptured his Achilles back on August 24th. And not to rub salt in the wound if you're a Jaguar fan, but Harrison is the third player drafted in the top three rounds since 2016 to be cut or traded by the Jaguars before finishing his rookie contract. That right there is very difficult to swallow if you're a fan. Jalen Ramsey, he was dealt. Leonard Fournette didn't finish his rookie contract. And Ngakoue was traded after his fourth season. So, man, that's really, really tough to swallow if you're a Jacksonville fan. You're going to have to embrace the tank and realize this team is doing everything they can to acquire the services of Trevor Lawrence in the 2021 NFL draft. That's what this looks like right here. Now, if we stick in the NFL, but we move over to New England, no surprise here, but the Patriots have named Cam Newton the starting quarterback for the 2020 season. He's the captain. He's filling in for Tom Brady. Belichick told the players that Newton would officially be the team starter in a meeting today. And I'll tell you, it's no surprise whatsoever. Newton was voted one of the three offensive captains, so already he's been able to mesh with this squad. And Cam Newton is motivated, and Cam Newton has something to play for. And you simply just look at the quarterback position from an athletic standpoint with ability when healthy. Cam Newton is 4 years removed from an MVP caliber season where he took the Panthers to the Super Bowl. I'm all for it. It's a Patriot move. I never believed for a moment that Jarrett Stidham would be the starting quarterback, even when the Patriots went in and signed Cam Newton. I did not think that it was Belichick playing mind games. I simply thought it was Belichick and the Patriots looking for a better option than Jarrett Stidham. And now we know Cam Newton will be under center for the Patriots come week one. Let's look at some of the major headlines in the national sports front. Let's move over to Major League Baseball as we get down to the, again, we're on the back half of the season, 24, 25 games remaining. Right now, we have an important one between the Nats and the Phillies. This game is tied 4-4 going into the sixth inning. Adamel Sanchez is on the mound for the Nationals today. And when you go back and you look at that World Series run for the Nationals, it should not be a surprise that this team is 12-22. And the reason I say that is because you had Max Scherzer pitch lights out. Scherzer has had his ups and downs so far this season. You had Strasburg, who earned every penny of a huge deal following a World Series championship. Patrick Corbin was the best number three in the league. And then you go beyond that, and you had Adamel Sanchez, who pitched very well last year. Today, Sanchez, 3 1/3, 8 hits, 1 earned run, 1 K, gave up a home run. His ERA is a 6.48, and he has just not pitched well. And that's really what it boils down to. At the end of the day, the Nationals' pitching rotation is nowhere close to what it was last season. Right now, the Yankees up on the Mets 4-2. Final score from earlier today, the Pirates get the best of the Cubs 6-2. The Cubbies now 22-15 on the year. The lowly Pirates improve to 11-24. Some other finals, one other one. The Astros top the Rangers 8-4. Lance Lynn picks up the loss on the mound for Texas. The Rangers deciding not to move Lynn. And Zach Greinke gets the best of him. Greinke still yet to lose this year, 3-0 with a 2.9 ERA. Still to come tonight, 5:10, the Red Hot Padres will send Mike Clevenger on the mound as they take on the Angels and Andrew Haney. Coming up at 5:30, it's the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. 6 o'clock tonight, White Sox Royals. 7:40, it's the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw on the mound for L.A. Last night, trailing 1-0, bottom of the ninth inning. Have no fear, Mookie Betts with a solo shot to center field. The Dodgers win that game in extra innings. The Dodgers right now with a league best record of 28-10. That's a quick look at what's happening in Major League Baseball. Let's talk about the NBA. Pivotal game coming up. Toronto and Boston. This game's going to start in about 15 minutes. The series already 2-0 Boston. The other series in the Eastern Conference, it's also 2-0. After Jimmy Butler sinks two free throws with no time on the clock, the Heat top the Bucks again to take a 2-0 series lead. Tonight, it's do or die for the Raptors. They were my pick to come out of the Eastern Conference at the beginning of the year, and right now they are struggling heavily with the Boston Celtics. No home court advantage, and so that definitely plays a factor in the series. You're not done when you're down 2-0. I mean, look, both lower seeds have leads right now in the Eastern Conference. The series would be over with, in my mind, if it was the traditional NBA playoffs, but that's not the case. Right, tonight, huge game to Toronto Boston. And then we get game one of the semifinals tonight in the Western Conference between the Nuggets and the Clippers. We'll see what the Nuggets have in the tank. Just 2 days removed from that game seven victory over the Utah Jazz. The Clippers had a little bit of a break. Start time for that game is set for 7 p.m. Here's what we have planned today on Drive Time Sports. In just a moment, we're going to be joined by Phil Howa, head football coach, the Carbon Dinos. We'll talk about tomorrow's game. Carbon will play host to Judge Memorial, and it is senior night. Carbon pushed that up, wanted to make sure they had a night for the seniors just in case the season was stopped prematurely. So tomorrow, it's senior night. Carbon will take on Judge Memorial. The Dinos beat Judge 50-6 last season. I was at Carbon's football practice last night, and a lot of those returners, they feel confident about this game just based on how last year went. I mean, it was total domination for Carbon. So we'll talk to Coach Howa about that, and we'll talk more NBA basketball. We'll be joined by Tom Perkins, independent NBA scout. He's joining us not in the bubble. Tom did not make the trip to Orlando, so he's been dissecting things from home. He's also the founder of HoopCityNews.com. He'll join us a little later here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to break for just a moment. More coming up when we return on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
For every passing play, every running play, every win, and every loss, there is one man making all the calls. Get ready to dig deep into this week's game and relive all of last week's plays. It's Real Talk About Your Team.
Let's talk more high school football here on Drive Time Sports. Yesterday, we talked to Coach John Famala with the Emory Spartans as we gear up for their game on Friday night. On KRPX 95.3 The Peak, we'll have Carbon High School football. The Dinos will welcome in Judge Memorial. It'll also be senior night, so a very important night at Carbon High School. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Coach Phil Howa. And Coach, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate you joining us again. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having us, Jordan.
Absolutely, Coach. I always look forward to the conversations. And, well, we can start by talking about last week's game against Duchesne. We don't have to spend a lot of time on this, Coach, but I think every week, it's an opportunity for more reps, more improvement for the ultimate payoff, right? It's part of the journey. And when you look back at a 53-7 setback, there are still some positives. Positives in the fact that this Duchesne team is a good squad. They scored early. You guys managed to answer right back. But from that point on, things kind of went downhill.
Yeah, you know what? We just had small single miscues, individual miscues. A lineman miss a block, running back miss a play, runs the wrong direction, and then it just snowballs. It seems like all of a sudden the linemen start blaming themselves, and then the tailbacks start pointing fingers because their holes aren't there, and the linemen get down on them. So it kind of snowballed and got out of control. We have addressed that, and our kids understand that the line is the core of our offense. We have to have linemen dedicated and willing to put forth their best effort, and our running backs have been encouraged to give them pats on the back and show them some favor, you know, show them that they are important. And we've seen that this week, and I'm hoping it's going to make a difference.
I don't think there's any doubt if we talk about the offensive side of the ball. Quarterback Keaton Rich has definitely found some comfort with McCaden Whiteleather. I had a chance to talk to McCaden at practice yesterday, and he said, yeah, I said, I was devastated at first when I wasn't the starting quarterback. He said, but I love this wide receiver. I love playing wide out. He said, and I've developed a great relationship with Keaton. And you can tell on the field, they have chemistry with one another.
They do. And you know what? That just shows how unselfish McCaden is. I mean, Keaton had a little bit of experience in front of McCaden. McCaden got in the game on ALA and felt like he wasn't ready. You know, he said, Coach, I can catch the ball. He said, right now I just put Keaton back in. He's the one that told me to put him back in. It was his turn to do the double duty stuff. And you know what? He still wants some, and I'm still going to see if I can get him in and play some quarterback because he does have a great arm. He's a deep threat. He's a running threat. Tough kid, willing to block on that receiver, which is so valuable. You know that as
well.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
If you got a receiver that'll come up and mm-hmm. put a smack on somebody, then your outside game opens up. We got to get our running game running. We have to get something out of our offensive run so our pass game will be even more efficient. Right now, against Duchesne, we couldn't run, so we were forced to pass, and then they could put their ears back and come and get us. And that's kind of where we fell apart. It was just too much. We had no deception, no way to keep them from coming at us full guns. So,
Coach, when you talk about the run game, I know there was some bad news that Cooper Shade will be out for the remainder of the season, and this kid is so good. I mean, he's so good at the game of football, a great athlete.
Offensively and defensively.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he can play. Yeah, he can do pretty much everything for you from a skill position standpoint. We'll talk about the impact on the defensive side in just a moment. From an offensive standpoint, does this set the run game back, or do you feel that you have proper depth that can maybe not become Cooper Shade, but at least facilitate what he brings to the table?
You know, it's hard to replace Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're not trying to replace Cooper, but you know what? Bummer for us, bummer for Cooper, but also a positive for someone that was in the shadows of Cooper. If they get a chance, Davin Moss is a great running back. PJ Howe is a great running back. We have Jordan Wright, who he's Mr. Utility. He'll go at receiver, he'll go at fullback, tailback, he'll do whatever you ask. We have a couple other kids that aren't going to be playing this week because of concussions and slight injuries, so we don't want to take their year away. We want to get them healthy so we can go into Union with a healthy team. So, you know, kids are going to get a chance to step up, and sometimes we get surprised by these kids that are kind of in the lurk, and like a Hayden Tallarico is going to be asked to step up, and I know Hayden will. And you know what? You might see Hayden Tallarico at a quarterback tomorrow. Because I got a Keaton Rich that's willing to run. I got a McCaden Whiteleather willing to catch. So we have a very unselfish team, and they're willing to do what I ask them to do. And that's pretty cool.
Same concept defensively. I know Coach Brower has done a good job as far as the defense is concerned, but you lose Cooper on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of bodies, a lot of willing kids that want to get out and hit someone.
Well, you know, we got kids that are concerned that Cooper's not there, but you got kids that have been waiting.
Mm-hmm.
They want their chance, and you know, we got a couple pretty spicy kids. Again, Davin Moss is going to fill in a little bit there, and Blade Butler, he's been a kid that's been in the shadows. Good, tough kid, you know. Maybe not as fast as Cooper, but I would say as good as a hitter, willing to hit. And that's what you need of that strong safety, somebody that'll come up and support the run. So we have people. You know what, that's one thing about this year's football team. We do have some depth, and again, we may not be as fluid or as comfortable, but we're going to make it work. You know, our line's coming around every day. They get better. We've put in a draw. We've put in a screen. You know, every week you try to add a little bit more to give yourself a little bit more versatility. And I think we're going to give Judge a good game.
Again, Coach Phil Howe, our guest right now, as we talk about the Carbondale football team again tomorrow night at home, taking on Judge Memorial. This is all part of senior night. And, Coach, when we look at Judge Memorial, a lot of success against this team last year. Anytime you talk about a private school, it's difficult to kind of gauge on what they have coming back. But I know in just talking to some of the boys on the team, especially those who played last year, there's a level of confidence based on the fact that they beat Judge 50-6 last season.
I just hope it's not overconfident. You know, you always worry about your kids getting overlooking a team and, you know, we just got to show up. I hope they don't do that to themselves. I hope they show up and play a game. That, you know, we have a good football program. I don't believe our kids got ready mentally for Duchesne. I don't know why. I don't know how you do that. But, you know, watching them on game film and seeing what they had, I think our kids thought they could hang with them. And Duchesne showed up as a tenacious football team that kind of caught us on our heels. So hopefully not this week. Hopefully we're going to put Judge on their heels and not be willing to just slide by and just kind of bury them. I'd like to get a good offensive series and good defensive stance and show our kids they can play football.
Well, they do have some skill position players on this team, Coach, that we have to be aware of. For instance, Isaiah Hemmings coming out of the backfield. This kid averages about 4 yards per carry. They got a quarterback that likes to throw the football. Consistency has been a problem, I know, whenever Judge wants to work through the air. But this is a team that can provide balance, which makes it difficult for defenses.
Oh, it keeps you on your heels. Mm-hmm. Keeps you guessing. And you know, we've put a different – we haven't changed defenses, but we've added a defense, so we have a different look. You know what, you always have to have something to throw back at them. When they throw one thing to you, you got to throw something back to kind of throw them off kilter. And you know, Taylor's got some things happening, and we're not going to fix what's not broken, because our defense played well last week. They just played too much.
Mm-hmm.
And in all fairness to them, you know, they were on the field a lot. So, you know what, we're just going to go into Judge and put behind us what's happened in the past, and hopefully remember how well we played against Cottonwood, and say, you know what, we can do this. Our kids are good ball players. Sometimes they forget. Sometimes they kind of go into that negative mode and say, oh, start hanging their heads. And that's something we just got to get over. We just got to say, we just got to go tough. You know, just drive them off. If you're not sure, at least make an aggressive play for the ball, or aggressive block to maybe get somebody rolling. I'm hoping big things from Jake and Davin. They're partners from Helper, and you know what? Hopefully they can team up and support each other and get some positive yards going for us.
Coach, is it as simple as looking ahead? I know this is a really dumbed down version, but going back to what you just said a moment ago, defense can't be on the field for 35 minutes a game. It's almost like a quality at bat in the game of baseball. You don't have to hit a home run. You don't have to hit a double, but it's at least flipping the field offensively, giving your defense an opportunity to catch a break, picking up two or three first downs and punting the football. Yeah, you don't get points on it, but it can be considered a quality possession if you can at least flip field position. And with the special teams that Carbon has, I mean, that's the start, right? Just make sure that you control field position offensively.
Oh, exactly. You know what? We just have to do better. I mean, we're trying to get back in the game, you don't get back in the game with one play.
Right.
I mean, you do it by wearing it down and running the ball and mixing it up. So we got one-dimensional. Coaching-wise, I'm a head coach, Carbon High School, and I'll take responsibility for not mixing up the proper way and putting us up in a defensive stand again. And I apologized to my defensive coordinator, and he took it without any harshness and said, Coach, you don't need to. You know, we're a good coaching staff. We're a good team. Very unselfish on both sides, coaching and we work as a team. And you know what? I think they'll all take credit for the loss, and they'll take credit, I'm sure, when we win. And I'm hoping this week's the week that we can all cheer and have a great time after the game and pat each other on the back. We had that in Cottonwood. We were pleased with the way our kids come out and played and the way we coached together. We didn't do that at Duchesne. We got a little shocked as well as coaches. So, again, put it behind us, move forward, and let's go get Judge.
No doubt. No question. Coach, I definitely appreciate you taking out the time. Looking forward to watching the game again. So thank you very much. And I know we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Jordan.
Again, Coach Phil Howa, the Carbon Dino football team. Don't forget, live coverage of tomorrow night's game will begin at 6:30 on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. It's going to feature Coach Phil Howa. And we'll also catch up with McCaden Whiteleather, a senior on this year's Carbon football squad. Let's pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we'll talk NBA basketball. We'll bring in Tom Perkins, independent NBA scout and the founder of Hoop City News, when we return.
With the sixth pick in the 2014 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State University.
This is Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Marcus Smart, what a spin move and a finish. Hard to handle Marcus Smart, whether he's outside or inside the paint.
Let's talk NBA basketball. We have an important Game 3 coming up here in just a moment. Toronto and Boston. The defending NBA champs are down 2-0 in that series. We'll get Game 1 of the Western Conference semis tonight between Denver and the Clippers. And now we know who the Lakers are going to be playing. Plus, the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler. He's got the MVP Giannis in Milwaukee with their backs up against the ropes as well, down 2-0. Joining us right now to talk about that and more, we have Tom Perkins. He's an independent NBA scout and also the founder of HoopCityNews.com. I always look forward to the conversations. Tom, thank you again for joining us today.
I'm glad to be here. It's always a fun thing for me.
It's always fun to talk NBA basketball, especially this time of the year. And we can start by last night. We had Oklahoma City and Houston. And I got to be honest with you, Tom. Part of me was really rooting for Oklahoma City down the stretch. Really nothing against anyone particular on Houston. You just can't write this type of drama. Chris Paul traded from Houston to OKC in the offseason, along with two first-round picks and two swap picks for Russell Westbrook. And somehow, some way, Chris Paul has this band of misfits. And that's what OKC, that's what they are. They're a band of misfits. He has them in a position to shock James Harden and Russell Westbrook, along with Robert Covington in the opening round. I know it didn't play out that way, but boy, I'll tell you what, you have to tip your hats to Oklahoma City and the performance they got, not only from Chris Paul, but from a team effort in general. An undrafted rookie going for 30 points last night. It was pretty phenomenal on all angles, especially from Billy Donovan.
Yeah, I think you're so right about that. That's, I mean, that was a tremendous performance by OKC, because you wouldn't even think it would have lasted this long. But OKC, you know, played really well. And again, Rockets played, you know, just above their level to squeak by. I can't imagine them having much success the next round, but except for one thing. The Rockets, they present a different kind of challenge for the Lakers. The Rockets have some perimeter players that will bring the defense out, and that could cause somewhat of a problem, because inside, interior, the Lakers are very tough defensively. But with the perimeter guards and the smaller lineup that the Rockets have, it could pull them out.
So looking at what Daryl Morey decided to do at the deadline when he shipped out Clint Capella and decided to bring in Robert Covington, I don't believe it's sustainable over the course of a 7-game set. I thought it would be a terrible matchup for Houston if they went up against Utah. I was in the minority in that regard, but I really felt as if, just size-wise, that's not good for Houston. I feel the same way with the Lakers. I would feel the same way with Houston against the Clippers. I understand what Morey was trying to do. You had to switch things up, and you had to try to present different looks to opposition. But in the same token, I mean, Tom, going up against the likes of Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, I just don't think that Houston physically can sustain consistency against the Lakers over the course of a 7-game set.
Yeah, probably not. You know, I know that the Lakers are probably going to make this a half-court game and not want to run with Houston, because Houston is pretty tough in the open court. So, yeah, I would say you're right about that. That is a very difficult nut to crack when you're talking about the big guys from the Lakers against some of the smaller guys from Houston.
Okay, before we move on from the Rockets, last question on Houston. You're an NBA scout. You've been paid money by NBA teams to break down the opposition. Is James Harden even average defensively? I mean, we saw the block come up last night. I know there's been a lot of talk on social media that sometimes we give James Harden a bad rap defensively. Tom, your take on how good of a defensive player James Harden is?
Well, you know, I've always had this philosophy, and I have to dip into the Denver-Utah series for this analogy, and that is, if you're a good offensive player, you have the body, the moves, and the instincts to play good defense. And you know, Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell, they actually proved that at the end of the game, of their game, you know, of the seventh game, Denver against Utah. Those guys played superior defense against each other. So does Harden have the ability to play good defense? Without a doubt. Does he play good defense? Most of the time, not. Because his whole mind is offensive. And then he's got some guys to help him out to cover his mistakes. So, no, he's not even an average defensive player. No.
Again, Tom Perkins of HoopCityNews.com, our guest right now as we talk NBA basketball. Tom, we'll jump back over to the Western Conference in just a moment. One of the storylines in the NBA that cannot be ignored, the Miami Heat, and they have the Milwaukee Bucks down 2-0. There was some controversy at the end of yesterday's game for those who didn't watch it. I mean, there were back-to-back foul calls. I didn't agree with either one of those calls towards the end of the game, one against Miami and then one against Milwaukee, and it put Jimmy Butler on the line with no time left. He hit two free throws and the Heat get the win 116-114. But all this talk about Giannis and LeBron, And really, when you look at the definition of MVP, we just talked about Chris Paul, and there's no question that OKC team does not sniff the playoffs without Chris Paul. There's no question in my mind that they're not a playoff team. You look at this Miami Heat team, and Jimmy Butler may be one of the most disrespected stars in the league. And yes, this guy certainly is a star. Here he has this Miami Heat team up 2-0 over the Milwaukee Bucks, and this guy's playing with a chip on his shoulder right now.
Yeah, well, you know, Butler is one of those kind of guys that really gets under the skin of an entire team. Now, what's daunting for the Bucks is, you know, when their best player, Jimmy Butler, scores 13 points and they still win, that's not a very good sign for the Bucks. So, you know, the Bucks were kind of hitting on relatively all cylinders. You know, Brooke Lopez and Middleton, and of course Antetokounmpo, you know, they all came through to a certain extent. But Butler didn't really come that through offensively, although he did a good job defensively. So if you're going to be up 2-0 against the Bucks and your best player not being stellar offensively, that's something to take a look at.
But no doubt, no doubt. Butler goes for 40 in game one. He goes for 13 in yesterday's game. But as you alluded to, I mean, this guy's very good defensively as well. I think he had three or four steals in this victory against the Bucks. Milwaukee, are they in trouble?
Well, most of the experts, most of my colleagues, still pick the Bucks in 6 or 7, believe it or not. They still pick the Bucks in 6 or 7. So we'll have to see. Are they in trouble? Sure. If you're down to 0-2, you're in trouble. I don't care what anyone says. You're definitely in trouble. So whether Bucks can come out of that trouble, that's another thing. It's been done before. You remember, none of these teams have to face the other team's home court. So there's always that. If this was a, you know, a regular type of playoffs or people going to their home court, then I would say the Bucks are definitely in trouble. But because of the non-home court, I would say they're somewhat in trouble, but not gravely yet. But they have to win next game for sure.
No doubt. They have to win tomorrow. Tip-off for that game is set for 4:30 p.m. Tom, let's talk about game one tonight, Nuggets-Clippers. Clippers had a little bit of a break, not as long as the Lakers, but they did have a pretty lengthy break. Denver, on the flip side, coming off a game in which it was do or die. We saw really a lot of energy on the defensive side of the floor. I mean, the rotations were slick. I thought that the man-to-man defense was superb in this game. All in all, you just couldn't ask for more if you were Coach Mike Malone. And really, against all odds, the Nuggets come back. So you wonder, emotionally, how will Denver look tonight against Clippers?
Well, you know, Denver is, you know, they obviously played a real good series against Utah, and you know, it's real apparent that Jokic, he's a real intelligent athlete. I mean, we're talking about athletic ability. The center for Utah, actually Robert, he actually is a better athlete than Jokic, but Jokic does some real amazing things with his passing, and he plays the game very intelligently. Now, when you look at Denver against the Clippers, Clippers, quite frankly, had a better opening round than Denver did from the standpoint of, man, Luka Doncic gave them everything and more than they want. And they survived Luka. They actually survived Luka Doncic, and so I think that the Mavericks actually got the Clippers more ready for the next round than you know, let's say for example Utah. Although Utah did a good job of getting Denver ready, but it's gonna be a good series from the standpoint of they both have equalizers on their team. And they both have guys that can break the game wide open. Now, when you look at Denver, and remember the explosiveness of Jamal Murray, he came from nowhere, actually. I mean, he's always been considered a good player, but he came from nowhere to have a record-breaking type of series against Utah and Donovan Mitchell. In that fourth game, in that final game, rather, Jamal Murray didn't show up really well because people really paid attention to defending him. So I'm not sure he's going to be doing 50 points a game against the Clippers. In fact, I would say he's not, because the Clippers defensively are very sound.
No question. But when you look at Jamal Murray in the matchup, we'll say with Paul George, Paul George is going to have to work a lot differently on the defensive end of the floor in this series against the Nuggets compared to the way he had to work on the defensive end of the floor against the Mavericks. And I just wonder how that affects the offensive side of the ball for the Clippers, because when Paul George was bad, 4 of 15 from the field, the Mavericks found a way to win games. And there's no question that this Nugget team is better front to back than that Dallas squad. So does that affect this series at all, knowing that Paul George is going to have to work that much harder on the defensive side?
Yeah, it does, because it seems like Paul George had a big-time hiccup in regards to his offense. And if he has to concentrate that much on defense, it's going to hurt his offense. It's just the way it is. You know, whereas a guy like Kawhi Leonard, or if you recall in the years gone by, Kobe Bryant, those guys, they could take a defensive challenge and it would not hurt their offense at all. So, yeah, if he's going to have to, if Jamal Murray plays anywhere near he did against Utah, I really do believe that Paul George is going to have some problems offensively.
Tom, let's end with this. Some news that comes out earlier today, the Brooklyn Nets have named Steve Nash their head coach. I didn't see this coming. I mean, there's a million other candidates I would have guessed would have grabbed this job before Steve Nash. Yet, there has been some success with rookie head coaches in the NBA as of late. Guards, no less. Tyronn Lue, rookie head coach. Cleveland wins a championship. Steve Kerr, he was a rookie head coach. Golden State Warriors. Oh, I shouldn't say he was a rookie head coach. He wasn't a rookie head coach with the Warriors, but he was an inexperienced head coach nonetheless with the Warriors. They win an NBA championship. So when you look at what Steve Nash brings to the table, are you a fan of this hire?
Oh, not necessarily, because I think there's some other guys that were more worthy in regards to being there, but I guess they're rolling the die in regards to your young coach and offensive-minded, and of course they, you know, with Kyrie Irving and KD, that maybe they feel like he's the kind of mentality that could get them into a fast-paced game. And I think he does have a good basketball mind, but experience-wise, I'm not so sure there weren't other guys, even other assistants. I would have picked Tyronn Lue before I would have picked Nash for that position. But anyway, you know, who knows? You want to give a guy a chance. Although, my God, when you talk about millions of dollars to give a guy a chance, I bet you, you'd like to have a chance at, let's say, being a national broadcaster for the NBA.
No doubt, especially if you're going to give me a four-year contract. Like that's what we can't overlook. There's 4 years of guaranteed money in Steve Nash now.
Absolutely. There's a lot of guaranteed money, and so he better produce, because there are other guys that probably were more worthy of that position. But, you know, not harboring anything against Steve, although he did have some experience with Mike D'Antoni in Phoenix, and I hope he doesn't have that philosophy. I don't think, by the way, just skipping around back and forth, I think D'Antoni might be the problem why Houston will not go further. And because his whole scheme is offense. So if Steve Nash brings just offense to Brooklyn, that's not going to be too good. He's got to go ahead and teach some defense.
Tom Perkins again. He's the founder of HoopCityNews.com. Joins us each week, especially during the playoffs, to talk about everything that's happening. Tom, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work. I know you wrote a fascinating article regarding Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell. Jazz fans would definitely find some interest in this. So where people can find more of your work?
Well, HoopCityNews.com, you know, we're in our fifth or sixth year right now. and people are really enjoying it. And, you know, you can go there anytime you want to, hoopcitynews.com. Don't forget to put news.com on the end. And take a look at the articles. And, you know, one of my, I guess, claims to fame is in 2016. I did write an article about a young kid that was 16 and a half at that time, and saying that I thought that this kid would be the number one player in his class coming up. And sure enough, Luka Doncic was that. So I feel people get a lot out of it, and there's statistics to see, there's salaries to see, matchups, articles about different games that that I viewed. So it's kind of a fun thing to do. So go to my site, take a look at it, and definitely take a look at some of the past articles, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Tom Perkins, always a pleasure, Tom. Thank you so much for the time. I look forward to doing it again next week.
Fantastic. Yep, I'm looking forward to it, too. You have a good weekend.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Back to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk fantasy football. Travis, you playing fantasy football this year?
Yeah, I'll get into it.
Everybody has to play fantasy football. At least one team. See, I'm weird when it comes to fantasy. I say one team, two at the absolute most. Anything more than that, it's ridiculous. I hate when I talk to someone and they say, well, on this team, I have this player, and on this team, this player, and before you know it, you're, huh? I don't know how you can keep it straight.
You're six teams deep with who they have. Yeah,
yeah, I don't know how you can keep that straight. One, two at the absolute most. We are going to talk fantasy football tomorrow, and we're going to bring in Joe Bartel, who is just a fantastic fantasy football mind. He's from RotoWire. RotoWire, my favorite fantasy app. I live by it, especially when it comes to fantasy baseball. I'm a big baseball guy. I love the RotoWire app with fantasy baseball. So we'll talk to Joe Bartel tomorrow about football. If you had the number one pick, who are you rolling with?
Patrick Mahomes.
I go Christian McCaffrey.
Not bad. Yeah, I think I go Mahomes.
I think I'd go McCaffrey. And then I think it'd be between Mahomes or Barkley. It's probably... I'm old school when it comes to fantasy football. I like the running backs. I like to build my team from the running back spot. And we'll talk to Joe Bartel about that tomorrow. Definitely looking forward to it. As far as tonight, game one, Clippers-Nuggets. Who do you got?
Clippers. Quick turnaround for the Nuggets. I think they're a little bit gassed. So I got Clippers, and I think the Clippers win big.
They win the series in six or less.
I will go Clippers in five.
Wow. See, I think the Clippers would have gotten the Jazz out in five. I think it was a terrible matchup. The Nuggets may get a game or two.
I hope.
They may get two games. They may get two out of the series. Rockets, Lakers.
Lakers in six.
Five or six?
Five or six. They just can't compete with the strength, the size up front. Yeah. They're going to shoot a lot of threes, but the problem is that they miss, they're not going to get any offensive rebounds, which is going to lead transition, which stopping LeBron or AD going to the basket is going to be difficult.
Out of time for this edition of the show. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.